Hello, everyone. You're very welcome to another week of Unplayable. We've been away for a couple of weeks. We're working on something behind the scenes that hopefully we can release soon enough, which is very exciting, but it has caused quite a bit of work that has taken time away from the pod. So I apologize, but equally, I'm sure you've all managed just fine without our dulcet tones the last couple of weeks. The good news is there is loads happening at the moment. I'm personally most intrigued by Anthony Gim's return to golf this week after 11 years out of action. I think everyone is keen to see what his golf game is like in Jeddah, but also to hear from the man himself on where the hell he's actually been the last 11 years. We also had the smooth swinging rookie Jake Knapp win on the PGA Tour last week in Mexico with Padraig Harrington in the field. Certainly not disgracing himself as he made the cut with the young lads. We've also got a lovely little spat between the seemingly bitter Taylor Gooch and Rory McIlroy. And of course, there's the Cognizant Classic this week from the PGA National with a lot of big guns coming to a golf course where Shane Lowry has done quite nicely in the past. So I suspect it's quite possible that he may form one of our respective picks this week. Joining me to discuss all of this are Joe Nealon and Cooper Nolan. Joe and Cooper have both been interacting with some big dogs at the moment. Cooper, you're getting ready to get on stage with the CTO of Tomorrow Sports, which is this tech-infused golf business being set up by Rory and Tiger, which I suppose means you're only one person removed from getting on stage with Tiger Woods. And then, Joe, you were chatting away to Jack Ma on a putting green in New Zealand last week. For anyone who doesn't know who Jack Ma is, he's the $25 billion man who founded Alibaba and may or may not still be on the run from the Chinese government. But Cooper, starting with you, how much are you contractually allowed to tell us about your upcoming conversation with this big wig from Tomorrow Sports?
It's not quite a live contract, so I'm not too tied down. Just I'm working with 1-0, the Sport and Technology Conference at the moment, and we have an event in the Aviva in March, and there's a big emphasis on golf. So Andrew McCauley, the CTO of Tomorrow Sports, basically run the technology for TGL, who was previously the CTO and CIO of Top Golf for the last decade. A man who's, I guess, building this new type of golf, or kind of leading the tech behind a new version of golf for the PGA Tour, and has also been part of, I guess, Top Golf before they were the real juggernaut that they are today, and helping them get to that position from a technology standpoint. So yeah, it should be a good chat, and hopefully over the next few weeks, and potentially even at 1-0, we'll find out the rest of the teams on the TGL circuit, and yeah, where Shane Lowry ends up on the, as far as squads go. But then we also have the CTO Trackman and the CTO of the DP World Tour and Ryder Cup. So lots of technical angles, but guys who are basically building the future of golf. So yeah, really excited to get it going.
That actually is very interesting, especially considering like the golf world at the moment does have so much of this tech stuff that's actually kind of happening or simmering around in the background.
I think it is. It's the whole point of the conference is kind of sport, business, and technology. And like Eddie Hearn is talking as on the main stage as the keynote for the conference, and his title is around women's boxing and kind of the evolution of that. Obviously going to be heavily featuring Katie Taylor. But on the golf side, then I just think to your point exactly, like golf's at such an incredible juncture now, whether it is the cool graphics we get on a week-to-week basis on the PGA Tour, or the technology actually helping amateurs like Trackman that's basically available, well, will be in the next few years available in every golf club to every amateur golfer. So, yeah, it's a good time to talk about it. But, yeah, 1-0, and then next year we'll We'll hopefully have a full day dedicated to golf, so we'll see how we go.
Class. And Joe, so you're currently rocking around New Zealand and you came across Jack Ma on a putting green. What was the course you were at again when you saw that?
Yeah, so up in the North Island there, and I think, I don't know if anyone kind of has seen the same thing with New Zealand's kind of sort of reputation in the golf world is definitely on the up. They've got some great courses, and a lot of the ones that are in the sort of, you know, burst into the top 100 worldwide are kind of only opened in the last 20 years. But the number, I think it's 3 or 4 in the world, number one in New Zealand, Tara'iti, is up north of Auckland. Very private. I didn't realize how private at the time when I rocked up in the space station van and rang up the concierge from the gate, and needless to say was turned away from getting in. So I decided to change tact and went to this course that's opened in the last 2 years called Tiari. So they've got two courses. One's been open 2 years, the other's just opened, the north course. So you can go in, have a look. It's just $700 New Zealand to play, and then, you know, a caddy and all that kind of thing. So it's deep enough. So I just had to pop in for a look around, and then yeah, I was in the pro shop and just thought I recognized this guy, and took a second look, and it's your man Jack Ma. So we ended up out in the putting green together. One of us having arrived in a space wagon, the other in a helicopter. So no prize for guessing who. So that was good. Definitely worth checking out though, Tiari. If anyone's in the area, very, very cool spot. And I think it's 85th in the world now. I reckon it's going to climb, you know, keep climbing in the rankings. Definitely.
I know you mentioned you didn't get properly into that Tara'iti spot, but I'm just Googling some pictures of it. Oh my God. It actually looks unbelievable. For anyone,
yeah, and it's only been open since 2015. So they've, you know, they've obviously got this reputation straight away and just made it completely exclusive. But yeah, I think the pictures just make it look insane. It's New Zealand links golf, I suppose, at its finest. Yeah, definitely a bucket list. But yeah, you need to basically, I think you need to be invited by a member. It's not too far off, you know, Augusta levels of, you know, invite required. Kind of like just chatted to a couple of people, just kind of, oh, in the local area actually, about it, and they kind of just laughed and were like, yeah, you absolutely need to know someone well to get in there. So, but yeah, definitely some cool courses around, and planning on getting out to a couple then in Queenstown over the next few weeks. So couple others that are ranked pretty highly.
Yeah, I remember when we had Eddie Condon on the pod, and he was doing a bit of a tour around New Zealand and playing some of the top courses. Like, it sounds like if you're trying to piece together the perfect golf trip, obviously if you're American, you can pick the south, kind of west of Ireland, and there's just some of the best courses in the world. But New Zealand sounds like if you're piecing together five courses, say, for an itinerary and a bit of a trip, Cake Kidnappers is always the one I think of when I think in New Zealand. And yeah, Jesus, it just looks all and all the pictures are just outrageous.
Yeah, and then you've got like everything in between, like all the, you know, skydiving and, you know, all just driving through unbelievable mountain ranges and stuff. There's definitely worse place you could spend kind of 4 or 5 weeks just like in the outdoors, basically.
That Cape Kidnapper spot is like the New Zealand version of the Old Head, like right on the cliffs. It's absolutely incredible. Yeah. The Tara'iti, Joe, you mentioned that it's like their version of a Lynx course. And it actually is. Like, it's always a little bit frustrating to hear, say, Americans talk about their Lynx course and stuff that just aren't a Lynx course. But this Tara'iti genuinely looks like a proper Lynx course in New Zealand, do you know if it's branded like actually as a Lynx course?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah, because it's completely built on sand, so it basically ticks all the boxes. I think the criteria, I think it's branded as a Lynx, I'm pretty sure. And yeah, there isn't that many countries obviously that can say that. But yeah, I think is it Ben Crenshaw, or Crenshaw's involved, I think, in the Tiari Lynx. Tom Doak might be to Tarichi.
Yeah, as you see, saw there, it was Tom Doak that did the design. I played a Tom Doak redesign course there a couple of weeks ago in Melbourne, Yarra Yarra, which is class as well. Sandbelt.
Oh, I've heard, I've seen that. That looks amazing. Yeah.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I was invited there to play by a couple of lads that I know, and I believe they listen to the pod, but unbelievable experience out there. Yeah, class. I mean, there's obviously this part of the world, there is so many spectacular golf courses. So yeah, but anyway, on to other matters. So obviously there's a good few bits going on in the world of golf at the moment, but for me, genuinely the thing that I'm most paying attention to this week is Mr. Anthony Kim. I mean, firstly, what a coup for Liv. I mean, the Liv getting him, the PGA Tour were never going to be able to like attract him back or whatever, and this definitely, I would say, we'll get eyeballs around the world. What do you boys think? Are you actually going to pay attention to Liv this week?
Yeah, I'll watch the first round. It's the first time I've actually said it. Like, it's the first time I've ever been inclined to actually watch Liv, because of like AK, the legend that was. Like, still one of the coolest rounds of golf I've ever seen was his absolute birdie fest in Augusta. Was it 2011,
2009,
yeah, 11 birdies. Yeah, it's obviously that whatever happened, and I think in one of the promo videos he said, I'm here to focus on my golf. I'll talk about my story later. So nice little bit of a cliffhanger, if you can call it that, from a live promo video. And yeah, a lot of the graphics are hilarious. It's like a tailor-made announcement for forgiveness or a brand new golf club, the way it was, kind of the graphics and the fireballs and explosions and Jesus. But I'm worried though, like, for him, because like, and I can't trust the source. It's that page on Twitter, Tour Golf, TUOR, like, as in, it's usually satire, but apparently they were saying he shot 82 yesterday in a practice round. So like, there's two ways this goes, in my opinion. He either plays well, he's been grinding off the scenes and he's still able to hit a golf ball, or he shoots in the 80s. And like, for him personally, I don't really, obviously whatever's gone on, we might hear more about it down the line, but like, he's been Liver taking the punt, and to your point, kind of like, that's the, I'm like, Jesus, I'm gonna watch a live event like that. I just, for me, that's like, Jesus, they actually have, maybe they've actually pulled a master stroke here. But at the same time, if Kim doesn't play well, and like, actually, sorry, not doesn't play well, if he completely flops, the whatever money they paid him, it's just going to completely backfire, because the ratings are just going to go right back down to where they were. If he plays well, then they have another issue in that the man hasn't played competitive golf in over a decade. And if he can just slot in to the live field and play well, it's like, right, well, there goes your argument that it's one of the best leagues in the world, or trying to call them the best golfers in the world, because this lad had a decade off and now he's coming in and smoking you. So like, it is, I hope he does play well. I don't really care about the implications for Liv. Really just want to see AK back out in the course. And like, there is like, he's been walking around there like a spectator this week with the baggy shorts and t-shirts. John Rahm, actually, he went up to talk to John Rahm, and John Rahm got his pen out to sign his glove for him.
No way, really?
Because he thought he was a spectator. Like, he looks like a spectator.
Yeah, I saw you just wearing like a t-shirt with no collar playing on the course, and then like,
I don't even mind that for the practice round, but he's wearing basketball shorts walking around. Like, he's just, yeah, it's classic, right? Anthony Kim, but I presume he'll whip out the massive diamond embedded belt buckle for round one. But yeah, interesting to see how he gets on.
Joe?
Yeah, it's like, I think we all expected this to happen before now. He hasn't played a competitive event since May 2012. And all of us can remember, you know, that Ryder Cup as well, Valhalla, against Sergio, obviously, when he stormed off the green, he was the only one in the whole, you know, there that realized, that didn't realize that he won the match. And it was just, yeah, he seemed like a genuine world number one in the making, and definitely multiple major champion. But yeah, as kind of discussed, like the injuries and everything like that, it's frustrating that he's coming out in these circumstances, obviously in live. But same for me, I'll definitely be tuning in some capacity, just seeing how he gets on. I think they'll be delighted if he plays well. They'll see it as, you know, we backed the right horse here, and you know, if the likes of, you know, Ram and Bryson and DJ and Cam Smith are all in and around still shooting good scores, you can't really say anything about the field then. I suppose it's just like he's genuinely playing well. But it will be interesting to see if that 82 is just, because I know the same page, Cooper. It's hard to know. Like, I think every second thing is truth, but then yeah, you get kind of blindsided. But I do think if he plays well, it's they'll be absolutely delighted. And it's interesting, this whole thing, because I suppose like the whole insurance issue where, you know, he was told that if he plays again, he wouldn't be allowed to claim the insurance. It was contingent on him like just leaving the club. So I wonder what Liv have paid him like to make up for that. And then some, I suppose, because I don't know if like humiliation comes into it. Like, you know, let's see how he plays, but either that, or he really believes that he's still got the stuff. Like 12 years is a long time, but you know, he won, what did he, I think he had 3 PGA Tour wins in about 3 years or something. It was a fairly short span, and he obviously competed in lots of other events. I was looking as well, there's an article about the kind of state of golf at the time that he last played, 2012, Wells Fargo. And only one player from the top 20 in the world is still in the top 20. Can you guess who? Yeah. But he's moved all the way from 1 to 2 in the world. So moving in the wrong direction. But I thought that was just...
It froze there for me. Was it? Is the answer to that Rory?
Yeah. Spot on.
Yeah, that's mad. Well, because DJ would have been probably, but DJ's out of there now because of
he's like 180th in the world or something now. Yeah, that's obviously wrong, but yeah, largely it does just show you how consistent Rory's been. It's just another reminder, really, just to kind of step back and show how good he's been. But yeah, also Nike were making clubs at that time, still, and. You could anchor your putter still. I think 3 of the next 4 major winners at that point had used anchor putters.
That was all around that time, yeah, when Keegan Bradley and the boys were winning their majors.
Yeah. So it's a completely different time, but yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how he gets on. A complete unknown, but I think they've done a smart thing. The worst thing they're going to get eyes anyway.
Yeah, it's actually gas looking back, Joe. I remember when, I think it was the last time there was rumours of it happening. It was a few weeks ago, I think. I can't remember exactly when, but it definitely wasn't in the last 2 weeks. And someone put up a picture of the world rankings when he last won on tour. I think it was the Houston or the Wells Fargo was one of them. And big Tiger Woods on top of the leaderboards. But back then, Harrington was actually ahead of McIlroy in the world rankings. I think Harrington was like top 10. McIlroy was around top 10 as well. But there was mad names. Like there was 3 English lads in the top like 7 or 8. Poulter, Westwood and Casey. And I think Stricker was actually 2nd in the world. And Phil was obviously up there as well. But like it to anyone who's like, I guess, new to golf or been brought into golf in the last 5 years. I don't know when this kind of surge started for the interest in golf from a younger demographic, but when guys like that, when you think about really how long ago it was that this lad was playing on the tour, they're like, it was such a different world. So yeah, it's good luck to him, I guess.
I'm it's an interesting one, because so I'm thinking of your points as you're making them around this week and how he performs, and like obviously Liverpool absolutely want him to be well, and I think there's a reasonable chance that he does come last, but I'd say he probably won't come last. I'd say he'll probably come like bottom third of the field. I'd say like he probably has like a 73 in him or something like that, maybe a couple of 78s, who knows. But it also will be just an interesting one to watch his journey over the course of the season. Like, can you come in from that super talented guy when he was playing, obviously takes so much time off, can you just pick up the clubs again and come back at it? Obviously we don't know how much he was playing in when he was away, like was he actually hitting golf balls and stuff, and like the deal that Liv must have made with them. So the what I have heard is that it was between 10 and 20 million is what this insurance payout was. So for the background, he withdrew from the Wells Fargo after the first round in 2012, and he literally disappeared off the scene completely at that point. And the word on the street is that he did some his Achilles had surgery on that, and the deal was that a couple of years prior he had taken out some insurance policy against his body as an athlete, and then the insurance had or company obviously looked at him and said, well, we will give you the money, but if you play, you're obviously, you don't deserve to have this money, you're codding us. So whatever that deal was, who knows, none of us are going to be privy to that sort of information. Does he have to give back the money that he was given over those years? But Liv are going to give him, say it was 20 million from the insurance company, Liv probably give him 30 million for this. And like last place in Liv is 50 grand. And he's guaranteed to play every week, provided he doesn't get injured or whatever. He's going to play as a wild card. That means not in a team, every week for the remainder of the season. And last place gets 50 grand. So he plays 10 events. He's going to make $500,000 there. Absolute worst case scenario from prize money. But I would love to be privy to the deal that was done.
Yeah, I reckon this is all, because rumors came out last year, didn't they? Or sometime around then. I reckon he's been working on his game for quite a while, and this could have happened last season, but maybe he only feels ready now. I'd say he's quite confident in himself, like at this point, that he's gonna shoot low 70s at least, as you said, like a couple of 73s and a 72 would not be a disgrace at all. Like, you know, he'd probably, God knows if he'd take that, but yeah, you're right, like 50 grand at the worst, and he's a wild card, he's not part of a team or anything like that, so he's sort of got this free run that he doesn't have to care about anyone else and whatever. He's got one of those wild card spots, so like there's no way Liv haven't paid that insurance off him, so I think it's a smart call for him, definitely.
Yeah, like it's funny to even look. Was he allowed to practice in that time? Like is it an insurance claim where you literally just can't play golf, or was it just not part of the PGA Tour? But like it's irrelevant. Really. We'll find out fairly soon. Yeah, like as in, if you ask me to describe Anthony Kim's swing, I like from back in the day, I genuinely wouldn't be able to describe it to you. But like whatever the insurance payout, that's grand. I wonder, was he even allowed to practice? Was he allowed to be seen on a golf course? Or is it just part of the PGA Tour, whatever the agreement was or the payout was related to? But I couldn't believe when I saw the swing how much he chokes down on the club. Like, his hands are halfway down the grip and he's in full rip. Like, it's he's good bit of speed, and like it's still, it looks great. And but again, we're talking about back in the day, one of the most naturally talented golfers on the tour. So, if you have it, you have it, and it'll be a good case study, I guess, to see if someone take that much time off golf and come back and play at a relatively competitive level. But no, it'll be definitely interesting.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to tune in on his swing. I think he's got a pretty straightforward golf swing. I don't remember it being anything like outrageous. It was just pretty simple, straight back, straight through. But And obviously, yeah, he's famous for that choking down a little bit. So yeah, I'm buzzing, and I'm just looking at the field at Liv. I mean, I've said it before, it's really not bad, you know. Now, at Jeddah this week in Saudi Arabia, there will be 6 people in the crowd watching it. And that's it. Like, they're going to Saudi Arabia because that's part of the deal, I'm sure, with the PIF backing it. But that's a terrible place. Like, what a disaster for them. Not a disaster, but like, Anthony Kim comes back. If it was on America, if it was on a Boston or New York where there was a raucous crowd, people would be flooding in the gates to see this, and I'm sure there'd be proper hype around it. But it's going to be an empty field in Jeddah, like, and it'll be just whoever's in the commentary booth, yeah, will be talking it up and saying how spectacular this is, but there'll be no bloody atmosphere at the place.
Yeah, it's like the football in Saudi, I suppose, at the moment, like those games getting nothing as well. It's yeah, they haven't added it up in that way. Did you see the promo video as well, where it was like, I think he said something like, "Hello haters, I'm back." And I think everyone was sort of been like, I don't think anyone actually hates you. Everyone's been hoping for you to come back.
The entire world absolutely loved him.
Yeah, like, what's he on about there? That's like making up enemies just to
have, I'd say, that's got Liv written all over it.
Yeah, they're just creating this siege mentality around them, saying that, like, everyone hates us and we're going to come out swinging type thing.
It's like, no, lads, you mixed Anthony Kim and Patrick Reed up.
Yeah. Right, okay, so Jake Knapp, the smooth swinger, longest swing I've probably seen since John Daly went on the PGA Tour last week. Really like the cut of this guy's jib, but I was looking through his kind of history and stuff. So it was his 5th start on the PGA Tour, for anyone who didn't see this guy. Jake Knapp won in Mexico. There wasn't a particularly strong field. It was kind of one of the lower rung PGA Tour events, but still obviously incredible to win on the PGA Tour on your 5th start. But I look back on like last year, and he obviously did well on the Korn Ferry Tour to earn his card, but he didn't win anything. So what do you reckon? Is this just a case of just another random winner on the PGA Tour, you know, move on, nothing really to see here? What do you think, this guy has a little something that maybe people should look out for?
Oh, I'd absolutely be looking out for this guy. Like, he was third at the Farmers. Like, this isn't a complete out of the blue. He was top 30 then as well this year in one of those 5 starts. So, like, it's not a complete surprise. But in terms of the swing, my God, it's beautiful. Like, I think I shared it on the Unplayable Instagram, like the tempo. It's like Freddie Couples if he was 30 years old and jacked. It's just so smooth. And he's up around 190 ball speed, like, or club head speed. And like, how he manages that with the lack of effort, I guess, for the entire downswing is just incredible. But no, it's savage swing, but he obviously backs it up, because I think even on the putting side, he didn't miss a single putt inside 5 feet. So like, for a rookie on the PGA Tour, that's serious going to, I guess, keep it together in the hunt for your first win. One of the stats that he won't want to remember is his driving let him down completely on the Sunday. It was shocking. Like, he's the first PGA Tour player to ever win when only hitting 2 fairways on the Sunday or on the final day. Like, it completely deserted him. But yeah, it was looking tight. As in, there was he had a 4-shot lead, and then it came back to level fairly early on. But a few mistakes from the field on the back nine. And again, to your point, Con, no Tony Finau or anything hunting him down. Valnak, I think, was the guy who was closest to him. And to be fair to him, I actually really admired the balls on him to go for the win on 18 to try and force an eagle to get a playoff, or sorry, get an eagle to force playoff. But yeah, it's I think he ended up, as soon as he kind of absolutely went out, I think he ended up under a fence straight away. He was like, what position is third, or what score is third position on? So he went for it, and then went for his placement.
Did he actually ask that question?
Yeah, he actually asked that question.
Did he? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so like, but to be fair, he went for it, went for the win, no laying up job. And yeah, like still a good finish. He was actually talking, it's his rookie season on the PGA Tour as well. And he was actually commenting on the grasses and having to change terrain essentially every week. It was really interesting insight from, I guess, a professional golfer who sounded like a normal golfer at that. Things we take for granted on the PGA Tour, like the elevation changes, the new grasses, like things that we don't really think about. We just expect these players to go out and rip it up every week. But to have an honest response like that was pretty cool. But no,
because that is something you wouldn't really think about at all. Like the guys who obviously every week they go and they play on different grasses. Like was he just saying that there's a big adjustment first in the practice rounds to get used to the different surface?
It's just week to week the grass is changing. Like it's similar to when we had Stewie Graham on the podcast, and he was like, that's something I have to think about when I'm going around on the challenge tour. Like I have to actually think about what type of grass it is, like the elevation, how fast I'm going to make my ball fly. Like the things that us playing in Wicklow or Sea Point on the weekends have the luxury of not having to, I guess, evaluate. But for these guys, it's a very real variable that needs to be adjusted in there. They're ultra precise stock yardages. But yeah, like Knapp, I think the best story from the whole thing was that there's a picture went viral from 2 years ago when he was bouncing outside of nightclubs. Like he was a struggling golf professional. Like he came through the PGA Tour Canada, as you said. He actually got into the Corn Ferry Tour and then lost his card and couldn't get through Q School. So finishing 13th on the Corn Ferry last year was, I guess, a big step in the right direction to get him onto the PGA Tour. And again, he could have folded, but with a win, a top three, and a few other good events under his belt now, just five in, I do think he's one to keep an eye on moving forward.
Yeah, it's the best swing I've seen in years come out. I can't remember a better swing like since Rory. One that looks as aesthetically pleasing. I don't know, like, get into the technical side of it, but obviously he's got the ball speed and club head speed and everything. But it was just like that video you're talking about, Cooper. Like, I say I watched it 500 times. Like, the one the PGA Tour put on Twitter is like, it was insane. Like, I don't know what it is. Yeah, I think it's the effortless power. Like, Fred Couples is a good comparison. But I definitely hope. I see he's out this week with McIlroy and Chris Kirk. So a couple of nice swings to watch in that group anyway. He's the third rookie to win this year as well. I think like if you were calling a few of the winners now on the tour this season, you'd be up quite a lot. There's been a lot of kind of outsiders, and like, you know, that could be the depth and all the kind of younger guys coming through, but possibly some live impact kind of hitting the PGA Tour now as well. Like, you know, when you look at like some of the players that have been lost, and obviously this was not a signature event. Now, you didn't have all of the top guys playing. You only had a few guys you would consider for the win, but it's interesting to see the sort of trends that are happening this year, with only a few weeks to go until the Masters. So, but yeah, I hope this guy competes more, and obviously he's in the Masters now as well. After that win.
Well, maybe that's a lovely little segue into the Taylor Gooch and his comments.
Somebody does have haters.
Yeah. So, and he's gathering more by the day, Taylor Gooch. Taylor Gooch was a real, I don't know, not, that's maybe harsh, but a real nothing character. Like, you know, he was a decent player on the PGA Tour, and he's clearly a good player, and he's gone.
No, Connie, actually, no, I'd stop you there. I loved Taylor Gooch on the PGA Tour. He was class. Like, okay. As a golfer, he was a king, and now he is an absolute nobody.
I wouldn't even go that far. I just think he's, some of the comments he's made over the last few years, like, this guy, he keeps getting better and better for the, like, he's a journalist dream as well. Like, he keeps coming out with stuff. Like, obviously, comparing the third LIV event of LIV's history, winning that with the four aces to the same vibes as the Ryder Cup, and even Patrick Reed was standing beside, and Dustin Johnson, like, were disgusted. They couldn't keep a straight face. You know, when Patrick Reed's appalled, like, you're not doing great. But, like, yeah. he's also, like, he's, do you remember last year as well, he, the US Open chain, I think they sort of altered their qualification criteria, but as they do a lot of the time, and he couldn't get in, but he could have played in about four different qualifiers, and he didn't play in any of them. Instead, he just kind of came out and complained about the US Open criteria, and then now he's obviously complaining about the Masters, but he hasn't played in any of the events that he could have. And look at what Joaquin Neiman has played in. You know, he's obviously won the Australian Open and played in all those DP World Tour events. But this guy, yeah, he's just, I don't know. He's a gift that keeps on giving in some ways.
Yeah, but it is. Well, talk about that. Like, sorry, Con, just in terms of, like, he had an option to go to get into the US Open instead of crying about it on social media. I'm not crying about it, just giving out about it. It has to be a pride thing, as in, oh, I'm too good for these qualifiers. Because Chase Koepka was in Baltre for the Open qualifier there last year. Like, I get it, like, in terms of someone like Gooch who wins the LIV Championship or whatever it is, says, I'm one of the best golfers in the world, I should be allowed in, and throwing a hissy fit. Whereas he just won't swallow his pride and say, I realize that LIV golf doesn't meet the criteria for official world golf rankings. That's why I'm not in the top 50 in the world. That's why I'm not in the majors. And no, I'm not doing the pre-qualifiers. I'm too good. Like, it must just be an arrogance thing. And for someone like that, like the Chase Koepkas, the Joaquin Neimans, I enjoy seeing them play in the Masters, because they're, well, maybe not Chase Koepka, but, like, as in the guys who go around the hard way now because the money they've taken has basically ruled them out of majors, great. Like, as in, do it the hard way, and then I'll actually have a few doing it that way. Did you see Rocco Mediate comment on this?
No.
So Rocco, the famous, the man who nearly took down Tiger Woods with one knee, he basically went after it. In an interview, he's like, who, I don't think he cursed, but like, who the F are you? Like, as in,
yeah,
completely, he just needs to be quiet.
We should get the quote, Colin, give the quote there, just to say what had been said from Gooch.
Well, yeah, I don't have it directly in front of me, but it was basically said something along the lines of, should Rory McIlroy go on and win the Grand Slam this year at the Masters, there should always be an asterisk beside his name as the Masters champion, because it didn't have Taylor Gooch and other LIV players. I mean, there's a tiny grain of what he's saying that is like ever so slightly true, but absolutely not to the point where he is right in what he's saying. Like, yes, there's probably five or six or whatever amount of players that are in LIV that are not playing in the Masters this year. But, like, absolute bullshit. You know, he's clearly a young lad or a guy who's just throwing his toys out of the pram. And it was embarrassing. Like, there was this massive backlash against him. I wonder, is he wallowing in self-pity at the moment, and has he got his tail between his legs?
Not a chance. He's going to double down. And he's actually, like, it was one tweet. It was the picture when Tiger won, was it the Zozo's 82nd PGA Tour win, and someone just put asterisk beside it, Taylor Gooch was not in the field.
Yeah.
So he's literally one week away, and one more kind of sense of entitlement, one more level of self-entitlement away from saying, yeah, no, Tiger wouldn't have won 82 if I was there.
He's any chance of getting an invite from the Masters is I'd say he's gone down the drain, because obviously they sent that invite to a few of the players last week, didn't they? Joaquin Niemann got the invite. Obviously he talked about kind of all those good performances and trying to earn it, and he got one. There was the Rio Susani, the Japanese guy as well, got awesome. One, and I can't remember, there was a third player that got it, but I don't think yeah, there was, because obviously the Masters is an invitational, but yeah, there was three players last week that got an invite, and Niemann was one of them. So he didn't qualify on the, you know, the world rankings criteria, or like, you know, top 15 in the previous year, or a major winner in the previous 5 years, whatever. Obviously there's a set number, but
it was Olsen, Joe, was the third one. Thornbury on Olsen.
Oh yeah, Olsen.
Masters win this year, yeah.
Oh, okay. So like the Masters clearly have a few invites in their back pocket that they can use at their discretion to invite people for whatever reason they really choose. And so they looked at Joaquin Niemann, and he, as Rory said, so Rory was interviewed, obviously, or during his press conference for this week, was asked about it. And he gave a very non-confrontational or non-combative answer to the question about the Taylor Gooch. He kind of tried to deflate the thing and not kick Taylor while he was down, and basically said like, oh, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he didn't give
a said pass. The interviewer led him to the I think he let the interviewer led Gooch to the answer, basically. Yes. Like sort of set him up for failure or whatever, but
that was it. And then he went on to say about Joaquin Niemann, saying that like Joaquin Niemann has basically chased his tail all around the world over the last few months to try get into the Masters. Like he went to Oman, and then he obviously went Australia and won and did all that. So the Masters, yeah, obviously looked at that pretty favorably and said, come on in here.
Yeah, no, you can't, what's that quote? Don't argue with an idiot. They'll bring it into their level and beat you with experience. Like, it's just, you can't engage with that. But I think it was smart by Augusta, because like, oh yeah, they're obviously not affiliated with the PGA Tour, not directly affiliated, and like all the Twitter live bots, like lambasting the majors and golf in general, and anything that they kind of is current in their barrage against, I guess, professional golf. But the Masters doing that now, they can't say anything. Like they're like, oh shit, they're after inviting them. Now we can't complain as much. I'm delighted Neiman's in the field. He's playing great golf, and yeah, he's an exciting golfer. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on.
It'd be cool to see it. Cool to see him do well. That brings us to this week. So there's the Cognizant Classic on in PGA National. So I was reading earlier, so PGA National, it's got the golf course with the bear trap, isn't it? It's undergone a bit of a facelift, apparently to help attract some PGA Tour members. So the rough has been shortened, fairways have been widened, made a couple of changes to the course. And apparently the backstory of them doing that was to try to attract some PGA Tour players as members to the course. It's actually an interesting one. It's just a little side note. I was chatting to pro in my golf club in Australia here in Spring Valley, and he was saying he's a member of a golf club down the road, and he can play in a Sunday comp and they give him a handicap, which I think is very cool that the club pros can play. Like, you know, David Micheluzzi, the Australian player, he's a local lad here and he plays my course a bit, Spring Valley, and he's allowed to play in like a Sunday comp, and they just give him a handicap of +8. And I think that's bloody great.
It's like when you go into a pub quiz and there's like a chaser in the corner that gets a handicap at the start of the quiz.
Yeah. But I thought that was cool. So yeah, this PGA National gone through some changes. And as Cooper, you rightly pointed out, and I'd actually forgotten this, this is the event that Charlie Woods was trying to qualify for. And he unfortunately shot the 86, and some people were quite mean to young Charlie, but obviously it's unfair for Charlie Woods, being the son of Tiger, And obviously the comparison is being made, but yeah, what do you think? Is it even worthy of a bit of a conversation, like the 86 that Charlie shot and trying to qualify for PGA Tour event?
Nah, like he had a 12, so it's representative. I don't know what happened on that hole, but fair play to him for going for it. Like, as in, regardless of how he got the invite, is it because his surname is Woods, or what, did he actually get through for a different reason? Not sure, don't care. Cool to see him give it a go. But like the stories really were, number one, the disgraceful kind of Twitter reaction to it, basically assuming that this 15-year-old is already Tiger Woods. So just can't, again, idiots can't engage. But the other side was he stirred up a bit of a crowd. I think someone said there was roughly 50 people following him, just from locals, but it ended up getting a bit out of control. I think he had two security detail with him, and Tiger wasn't on the bag, and it was one of his mates from high school, and there was like a bit mad, like lads forcing themselves on him to to sign gloves and stuff. And apparently one grandmother took her daughter out of school just for the chance for Charlie to see her. Like, complete madness. But like, yeah, it's bad. Like, he's, Jesus Christ, he's only a young lad. And whether or not he makes it, it's kind of irrelevant. But if he's going to try and be a pro golfer, the more experience like this and the earlier he gets the butterflies, the sooner he can deal with them. So yeah, I think it's worth much more of a conversation than good luck to him.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Fair play to him, give it a crack, but I almost don't want to be part of the contribution of all the kind of hype and talk around him. So hopefully he makes something of himself, but sure, I'm sure he'll be all right either way. But so this golf course, Lowry has done reasonably well here in the past. And am I right in saying it's an elevated event because the field is quite strong this week? What are we looking ahead now at this PGA Tour event and PGA National?
Yeah, Rory has good memories here, and he's playing this week, obviously. It's first time since 2018. It's not a signature event, I'm pretty certain, but I think the way the schedule has been changed this year, normally they played this event straight after Riviera, but the Mexico Open got put in between. So Rory, I think that's why he's playing. He had a chance to take a break. And he lives basically down the road from this course as well. So this is where he won to claim number one in the world for the first time, beating Tiger in 2012. So he's some good memories. I think he was runner-up in 2014 as well. So clearly can play the course very well. I don't know if he's a member himself. I'd say he can just play it whenever he wants if he's down.
Yeah, I think he's a member of somewhere else. Maybe is it the Bears Club in Jupiter or something? I don't know.
Yeah, but he's in the field, and then there's a couple others. Chris Kirk's the defending champion, obviously. Ben Ahn, he looks like a guy who's playing. He's playing very well this year as well. But yeah, Lowry 2 years ago, Sepp Straka, wasn't it that beat him down the stretch? There was that downpour just before Lowry played the 18th. So it sounds like excuse, but it actually was. It did change the game a bit for him. So yeah, definitely plenty of eyes on him this week. For Rory as well, I think he's playing 3 weeks in a row from this week. So he's playing this week, Bay Hill next week, at the Arnold Palmer, and then the following week is the Players. And then he's breaking, and then he's going two in a row with the Masters as the second. So he's playing, what, 5 and 6. So he said at the start of the year that he was going to try and play a decent bit coming up to Augusta. So it'll be interesting to see, because his results have obviously been a bit questionable over the last few weeks. What was he like? Pebble was nothing to shout home about. And then Riviera, it was something similar, wasn't it? I think he was doing all
right at 1 point. 66th in Pebble and 24th in Riviera.
So like kind of would want to, you know, start seeing a bit of form from, I think he does play a lot better in Florida though than the West Coast, I think, typically. So we'll see, like what Cooper said earlier about the grasses and everything, like that's obviously all going to be similar over the next few weeks, given it's the southeast. So, yeah, see how he gets on.
Yeah, it is it's historically a good event for the Irish. Like Harrington won this twice when it was the Honda. And then Larry obviously
he's in the field again this week, actually. Harrington.
Yeah, I'm sneaky tempted. I think one of the bookmakers is offering, I think, is it 300-1 for 12 places or 300-1 for 12 places?
Really?
And yeah, you said already, Con, he played all right last week. Like if you want to back him to win, Con, you can get him for like 750-1 just to win. So like Dave might put a fiver on that. And Larry actually as well, he's come fifth here too. He's just not playing that good, and it's funny then when you think about this course rewards ball striking, and it actually there's no correlation with good putting and winning here. Like the actual strokes gained putting only makes up for about a fifth or around 20% of the strokes gained total around PGA National. So it's a ball striker's course, and even if the putter's not too hot for Larry or McIlroy, which is sometimes the case, if you put on a bit of a display with the driver and irons, you can go close here. So I think Larry's after, he must have played shit in the practice round, because he's gone from 33-1 yesterday to 50-1 today. So I'll be getting on at 50-1 and saying a few prayers, because he needs it, like, as in he's outside the top 50 in the world now. He's not the signature events. This is a big moment for Larry on a course that he does very well in, because he needs something.
He's in free fall. Sorry, maybe that's a little bit harsh, but he's not far off free fall at the moment. Like, missed cut at the American Express. He got a T25th at the Farmers a few weeks ago, and then 60th in Phoenix. Like, he's gone from, he got as high up as 19 in the world this time last year. So, yeah. And now he's gone from 19 in the world to 57th. And there's no real sign of anything decent coming from him at the moment. So yeah, as you say, it's a bit of an important one for him. Will he be in the Masters?
It was funny, he's in the Masters this year, but like as in it was Straka 2022 here, and then I think you're right, yeah, he came fifth here. So it was literally this week he got to his highest ever world ranking. Sorry, after the Honda, or sorry, the Cognizant, but the Honda last year. Was when he reached his peak. So absolutely pulling for him.
So I think Lowry won the Open 2019, obviously we're 2024 now. Is it 5 years that you get exemptions for like the Masters?
Yeah. So this would be his last year.
Yeah. He was 16th last year, so he was outside that top 15 that would, I think, get automatic in next year. But anyway, yeah, so it's an interesting one. So what are we saying then for the picks this week, lads?
Yeah, just Larry at 50-1. I think it's with Betry's 5-8 places at 50s, so gobble that up.
Okay.
I like the look of Pavon, who won in Tory. So he's at a 4 appearances this season. He's finished 7th, 39th, 1st, 3rd. And I think, I don't know what he's offering at the moment. I saw him around 50. So he's had 3 top 7s out of 4 events. So I think he's definitely very good value. He skipped Riviera, even though he got into it. But he's in very good form. So go with him this week.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I am. Well, Pavon, you and I were watching that together here, Joe, actually, weren't we?
Mm.
So, yeah, okay. I have already done my bet, and I have gone with the Great Dane, Thorbjørn Olesen. He obviously won on the European Tour, DP World Tour, a few weeks ago. I think he's a man who was obviously off the grid for a period of time due to a little indiscretion that he may have had on an airplane on the way back to Europe from the States. But he's back, and you boys were saying that he got an invite for the Masters as well. So things coming up, Thorbjørn, I reckon. So that'll be my bet. I can't remember what odds I got, but we're talking around 50-1-ish. And also I saw, just before we wrap it up, there's an Irish lad, Richie O'Donovan, is playing this week on the DP World Tour, playing in his first ever DP World Tour event. I just had a quick look through the field and I saw his name. I'd never even heard of the guy before. So apparently he plays a little bit on the Sunshine Tour down in South Africa. And he's got himself into the field for whatever the DP World Tour event is in South Africa this week. So I'll be paying attention to him, see how he gets on.
It was Sunshine Tour, I think he got in through. Genuinely, don't know much about him, but I'm sure someone like Irish Amateur Golf Info has been following for a few years. And yeah, it's there's a few good guys. It's that time of year where the Challenge Tour is kind of, I guess, the invites for the Irish lads are fast approaching, and there's a few guys like Stewie Grant doing well on the Toro Tour. Like, I know it's only a winter tour for professionals down in Spain, and hopefully, because last year it was something on the kind of Irish young professional side, and Alex McGuire is another one who'll be taking up a few Challenge Tour invites in the next few months. So yeah, hopefully a big year for one of them to break through.
Yeah, it would be very cool to see someone like this guy, Richard, and take advantage of that, get like a little top five or top 10. Cool. Well, thank you, boys. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We will leave it there. I'm sure we will chat to you next week.